You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I will sit down and we'll geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for coming back. If it's your first time, welcome. Thank you guys for checking out the podcast. This week, episode 31 for February 6th, 2019, my pal Mark McHugh is back, and we dip into the world of PC gaming, and this might be straight up the only PC episode I ever do of this show because I don't really play PC games. So you PC master racers better enjoy this while you can. That said, I did play this one. This week, my buddy Mark and I are talking Roller Coaster Tycoon, the original. I know there's like 50 of them now and they're on all the different platforms. And I think we dip into the other ones a little bit. Like, we recorded this episode about 2 months ago. So full disclosure, I don't entirely remember everything we talked about, but it's Roller Coaster Tycoon. I love simulation games like this. I like business games, you know, like SimCity and this style of game. And Roller Coaster Tycoon was the fucking cat's ass. There's my swears. I lasted, what, a minute 10. Roller Coaster Tycoon is awesome. They're some of the best simulation strategy business games out there. At least they were when they started. I know in recent years they've kind of lost their way a little bit, but hopefully they get back to it. I think they're coming to Switch soon, which would be fucking awesome if they're the real games. But anyway, so that's what we're talking about this week. Before we get there, you guys know I got to ramble for a few minutes just to fill some time. We have a website. If you've never been there, check us out. RememberTheGamePodcast.com. Traffic is up. I appreciate all the views. I keep saying I'm going to start posting blogs there soon. I really am. I've been on the road a lot for the last week or two with comedy, and I guess it's not really an excuse because I sit in a hotel room on my computer and do nothing, but I'll try to get to the blogs soon and start talking about that stuff. We're also on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Member the Game. So if you've are on those things, follow us, we follow back. Instagram is probably more active than Twitter, but we'd like to see you on either one. That'd be really, really cool. And we have some cool episodes coming up. If you guys enjoyed any of the previous 30 episodes before this one, thank you. If you've left us a good review, thank you. If you haven't left us a review and you like the podcast, please do. I like to try to read them on here. That would be really cool of you guys. And we have some great episodes coming up. Like I said, I got a ton in the bank. We have games all the way from the NES era right up through to the GameCube coming up. And there will also be a bonus episode this week. A special treat episode will be going up probably Friday sometime. I got to catch up with my nephew Ben a little while ago. Ben is 12. I think, Ben, if you're older than 12, I'm sorry. I think he's 12. And we just talked about modern gaming. So this one's not going to, this is a little bit of a different episode. Ben's been on before. He was on about episode 10. We talked about the Mario Party series and, we just sat down and talked. It was kind of cool to catch up between an older gamer and a younger gamer and just talk about some of the games he's playing and what gaming is like for kids today. Like it was, you know, as opposed to what it was like when I was Ben's age, you know, playing Super Nintendo back in the 90s, like an old man that I am. We talk Fortnite, we talk Smash Brothers Ultimate. Like I said, special episode. It's going to be a bonus treat. I should have that one up on Friday. So you guys are getting two episodes this week. And that's what's going on with our episodes. Like I said, just lots of great games coming up. It's tricky. I find that the download traffic, sometimes it fluctuates based on the popularity of the game that we're talking about, which is, you know, to be expected. The Grand Theft Auto episode from last week skyrocketed and became our most downloaded episode after about 5 days. So, you know, there's a market for Grand... Who would have thought it, eh? There's a market for Grand Theft Auto. You know, but that said, if I just burn all the big popular games in the first 50 episodes, then I'm going to be out of stuff to talk about by about episode 60. And this is about games that I played growing up. So it's, you know, I'm really happy with the episodes we have coming up. They're not all giant cult classics. Or I guess they're not a cult classic if they're giant. Boy, I'm good at this, eh? Anyway, there's lots of episodes. Just listen to them. We'd really appreciate it. And check out the one I have coming up with Ben on Friday. As far as what's going on in gaming right now, only thing I really wanted to talk about is, if you haven't seen it, Xbox Live is coming to the Nintendo Switch. And they haven't released a ton of details yet. I mean, as a Switch gamer primarily, I'm excited for this because Xbox Live, for my money, is the best online interface in console gaming. You know, it would be phenomenal if it came with fucking voice chat that we didn't have to do through our phone like you have to do on the Nintendo Switch, but I don't think the Switch is equipped to handle that. That just said, like, clean up that interface. You know, I would love to see some Xbox games come over to, like, oh, give us Cuphead. Cuphead on the Switch would be phenomenal. I'm excited. It's cool. It's cool to see two big giants like this teaming up. I think there's certainly an argument to be made that the two of them are looking at Sony sitting over there on their pile of money on their throne, you know, as the basically the undisputed king of console gaming, and wondering if maybe an alliance is needed to take them down. I don't know what it is, but it's cool. It's exciting for me as a single console owner to think that maybe I'd have access to stuff from two consoles on my single Nintendo Switch is really rad. So I mean, it's really exciting because there's a lot of possibilities, right? Maybe if Nintendo and Microsoft are friends now, Microsoft will give Nintendo access to some Rare titles and some Rare franchises again, primarily Banjo-Kazooie. I think everybody wants to see Banjo on Switch, and Banjo-Kazooie would be a perfect fit for Smash Brothers as well. And I think that's coming. I would almost be willing to bet money that that's coming. Banjo is coming, and I think Crash Bandicoot is coming to Smash. But that's pretty exciting. And it's just good for Xbox, because I mean the Xbox 360 was killer. I would put the 360 probably my three favorite consoles of all time, definitely my favorite non-Nintendo console of all time. And the Xbox One was kind of a misstep, you know. It's funny because the original Xbox couldn't touch the PS2, and then the Xbox 360 fed the PS3 as lunch for a long time because Sony kind of made a mistake. And then with this past gen, the PS4 just kicked Xbox's ass. So maybe Xbox is seeing how Nintendo's blowing up and thinking, like, maybe, you know, two brains are better than one. So we'll see how it goes. But it's exciting news. As far as what I've been playing over the last 7 days, I finished Spider-Man on the PS4. Shout out to my pal Chris for lending me his PlayStation so I could get through that. Pretty fun game. Some of the side quests got a little old, but the main story was awesome. The controls are pretty rad. Spider-Man translates well into video games. He should, at least anyways. You know, it doesn't always, but he should. And I'm pretty excited for the sequel to that is inevitably coming at some point. So I finished that. I'm still playing Smash Bros. Still trudging through a replay or a first complete playthrough of Metroid from the NES, which is just I mean, Super Metroid is a masterpiece. The original Metroid is fun, but it is vicious. Like, I don't know if I'll ever finish it, but I'm trying. And I'm kind of dipping my toe into Octopath Traveler, which is an RPG on the Switch, if you've never heard of it. I haven't really gotten that far, and yeah, it seems cool. It's basically my whole backlog. And my pal Chris pointed out that some people in gaming are doing something called 4 in February, where you delete 4 games, or finish 4 games from your backlog in the month of February. And I think it's a pretty rad idea for people that are doing it. I kind of eliminated a backlog a little while ago when I switched to Switch. When I got rid of my other consoles and just went to the Nintendo Switch, I try not to stockpile games and just buy them when they're on sale anymore. And I just find I enjoy it more. When I've got a huge backlog of games sitting there, it almost feels like work sometimes, you know, and I can't just sit down and enjoy playing. So if you've got a backlog, apparently February is a good month to get rid of some games. There's not a ton of big releases this month. Get her done. And I don't know. Just don't let your backlog ruin your enjoyment of the hobby. You know, just play what you want to play. If you don't want to play it, don't force yourself to. It's not fun anymore, you know, like I did with fucking Crash 3. But anyway, that's backlogs. That's what I've been playing. That's games. That's my thoughts. I've rambled long enough. I'm going to shut the fuck up and get to this week's episode. Like I said, you guys, this week, my pal Mark and I are going to talk about Roller Coaster Tycoon for the PC. I guess it came to Xbox. I know it's on like some mobile stuff now, primarily on the original one. I adore this game. This game originally released in North America on March 31st, 1999. So it's 20-year anniversary. Its birthday is coming up in about a month. I think a lot of people have played this game. If I'm dipping into the PC world, it's probably not the first game that PC gamers would prefer, but it's the only one I know. So I'm trying to throw you guys a bone here. I hope you guys enjoy it. That said, I'm going to cue the music. It's not the best music in this one. It's the Roller Coaster Tycoon doesn't have the most fucking adrenaline pumping soundtrack of all time, but the game is rad. I hope you guys enjoy this talk. Thank you for listening, and I'm going to shut up and sit down with my buddy Mark and look back at Roller Coaster Tycoon for the P-fucking-C. Here we go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Is winter, which means it's video game season. I mean, all year is video game season, but when it's like 30 below, there's nothing else to do but sit inside and play video games.
It's the time where, like, I'd be inside playing video games anyway.
Right.
But at this time, it can be like, well, I can't go outside, Kenny V. It's...
Yeah. I can't imagine he's listening, but
we have
this buddy. He's a comedian from around Edmonton. He's an older guy, and he's always yelling at me and Mark to go outside. I'm like, well, now it's too cold, so fuck off, Kenny V. We're sitting inside playing video games. And when we're not playing video games, we're talking video games. And so this week, we are going to venture into the world of PC.
Yeah, I'm not usually a big PC gamer, but this is the one.
Dude, I was literally...
This is the game.
I was literally just going to say, I don't think there's another PC game I could do this about. Just
no,
this
me
one.
Neither.
It's the only PC game I've ever bought. Like,
it's the only PC game I've ever sank like hundreds of hours.
Yeah, into. Yeah, right? And as you will already know from the intro and the music and the title of this week's episode and the picture and everything, the game we are talking about
his Roller Coaster Tycoon for the PC. I guess it's out on just about everything now, but initially PC.
It's out on the Switch in a few weeks.
I know, buddy. That's the best. I bought it on my phone, but
it's not the same on the phone. Like, the touch version is like, oh, you want real life money from me. I see what you're getting at.
It doesn't work at all. It sucks. But this game, so, like, I'll ask you, do you like this genre as a whole? Like, the simulation tycoon-y business?
I like the tycoon games. Like, I really liked, the first one I ever played was, like, Dinosaur Tycoon.
That's what I was gonna in school. Dino Park Tycoon.
Yeah, Dino Park Tycoon, where it was basically like Jurassic Park, but like
I could do one of these episodes about that game. I love that game. That so
I never
much.
I remember trying to figure out how to buy the electric fence, and I could never do it. So my dinosaurs kept getting out. And I swear to God, like, the major thing I remember about that game is the auctioneer always sounded like he was saying fingernail fun.
I don't remember that.
Like
part.
The auctioneer, he was like,
So for everyone to know, this episode's no longer about Roller Coaster Tycoon. We're shifting right to that. I played that game so much at school as a kid.
Yeah,
and
like
then,
school is the only place I've ever seen that game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anyone owned that game.
If you look on my computer right now, there are Google searches of me trying to find it for MacBook so I could download it on my computer. I can't find
it. It's not even on Steam?
I can't find it anywhere. So if you're listening to this and you know where I can download Dino Park Tycoon on a MacBook, please, I'll give you a free episode. You can come on the show. We'll talk about anything you want. I don't even care if it's a video game. I want Dino Park Tycoon. I built a board game of that game to play at home with my brother, where I would just randomly give him money. Like, I made all this green construction paper money in there. Like,
that's really creative,
homie,
though.
That's the best that you played that game too. Like, same thing. I like these types of games. Like, it started with
Dino
Park.
And then, like, Sim City is always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, the only one I ever played was the Super Nintendo one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I love that game. Like, I need to do one of the episode about that game. Did you play the Super Nintendo one?
Yeah.
So you played on PC too then?
I played it a little bit. Like, I had a version on Windows 95. Whatever the version of on Windows 95 was.
Okay.
That was the SimCity I played on computer.
Was it the same as the Super Nintendo one with, like, the residential squares and the commercial squares and stuff?
Yeah, vaguely, I can't really remember.
Okay, all right.
I remember the Super Nintendo one better.
Okay, because it's funny, yeah, like, because I played that too. I played the Super Nintendo one, I played Dino Park. I tried to get into a few other of these types of games and just, for whatever reason, they didn't quite grab me, you know?
Yeah.
And then with Roller Coaster, I don't even remember. Like, when I go to post this episode, I'm going to have to YouTube it. I don't remember if I saw, like, a TV commercial or if I saw it in a gaming magazine.
I don't even remember the TV commercial. I just remember seeing, I think it was a commercial for the game, going, like, holy shit, I want that.
Yeah.
And then, like, saving my allowance and going to get it.
Likewise.
And it came in, like, the big red box that folded out.
Yeah. Yeah, the giant box. Same thing. I went and bought it, and then I had never bought a PC game before, and I brought it home, and I didn't even know if our computer would play it, like our home PC. I had no idea, you know, like, because it was like, I mean, if you're a young person, listen, I don't think any young people listen to this. I think it's all old people like me and you, but like, especially back in the day, not everyone had a good computer. Like, some of those home computers were fucking...
Yeah, again, we had a Windows 95,
yeah,
but it managed to play this, like,
yeah,
the first one came out, and I think it was like, what, 97, 98,
it was like late
that.
90s, yeah, because I remember being in like grade 9, grade 10, somewhere in there when I got it.
Yeah.
Same thing. I don't remember how I saw it, but I remember seeing something and being like, that looks awesome, and then getting it, bringing it home. And
it was just as awesome as you thought, as it looked. It was like it was going to be.
It was
like,
rad. It was like, so one of the first criticisms I have of it, and it's one of the things I wrote, it's sweet that you mentioned, I wrote Dino Park Tycoon down to bring up Dino Park. I love that game.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, God, I love that game. Roller coasters. one of the big criticisms I have of it, it's one of the first things I noticed right away, and I might be mistaken, but I don't think so, is that there was no sandbox mode. Like, you had to go into a scenario, play a scenario. But then after you finished this, like, that first scenario was Forest Frontiers or something.
Yeah.
And then after you finished it, you could just, that's where I built my biggest park. I just stayed on that and just built my park. I only played 3 or 4 scenarios ever.
Did you ever play Roller Coaster Tycoon 2?
I bought some of the DLC, like the add-on pack, the expansion packs for the original.
Mm-hmm.
I never played, like, the sequel to it, though.
The sequel was basically the same.
Like, no sandbox mode.
I don't remember off the top of my head if there was a sandbox mode, but I definitely remember, like, I remember never running out of, like, space was never an issue.
No, not at all. No, it was like, and that's what it's like. I finished the first because it's not a game review. We don't have to go into the details, but like, for anyone that's played it, you know, like when you turn it on, you get to pick like scenarios, and then they would say like, excuse me, in 1 year you have to get X amount of people into the park and make so much money, or get a park rating of this or whatever, you know. And it was cool, but like the first one especially was very easy to do. It was mostly, it's like any other video game. The first level is a tutorial level, just to teach it, you know. Unless you're the fucking worst businessman ever, your park will make these goals.
Thing is, like, when I play this game, I never play like I'll play the scenario and like hope to win, but it's never the end goal for me.
No.
Like, I wouldn't play a scenario to the end and then quit, then go to the next scenario.
Same thing. Like I say, I only ever tried to, like, that first park was my favorite. And like, I don't know if my brother's gonna listen to this, but like, I built the greatest theme park of all. Like, I spent years building a park on that court, like on the first level, just tweaking and like tearing it down and building it back. I hit a point, and I'm 90% sure about this, where it wouldn't let me build any more rides. It said I had hit the limit for how many rides you could build.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I had more money. It just said, so I had to tear old rides down to build new. Like, it said I couldn't buy any more items. I had to tear something down to build something new.
I had no idea you could get that.
I didn't either. I was pissed because I had all these, like, remember how you could buy more land to, like, expand it? I had bought this, like, extra plot. I had this huge plan, and, like, I was going to expand it, and then it said I couldn't build anymore. So then I ended up tearing down like a dozen rides to build these huge roller coasters to fill space. Like, it was so, but same thing. The scenarios were irrelevant. You just wanted to play the, and that's why, again, my criticism is like, why not just have a sandbox mode? Like, or not even a sandbox mode. Like, it's, I don't want infinite supplies, but just like a free play.
Yeah, just give us like a big empty space. Sure. Just, and let us do whatever we want.
Like, just pick, like, do you want to build like in the desert, the water, the forest or whatever, and then just give it your empty, like SimCity. Like, you just get an empty map and you get 20 grand or whatever to start with and just go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it couldn't have been like that.
I remember totally playing it like that. I don't remember if it was in the first or the second one, but one of those I think had a mode that.
Well, regardless, the scenarios were dumb. You just got through them to play to build a park. So.
Yeah, I never was like, oh, I finished this scenario, now on to the next scenario. It was like, no, I'm emotionally invested in this park now.
Right? And you are. It's like, dude, you start. And like, for that first, like, when I say the first year, I mean like the first hour of the game or whatever. Yeah. Like, that first year to your park is open, it's kind of like whatever. You do the basic stuff. You build a path up the middle, put some rides, put some food stands.
You've got like a food court like thing. You've got like one or two roller coasters.
Right.
And then like some kiddie rides.
Yeah, like enough to kind of start making some money, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you start making some money, like the more that game opens up and you start, remember you had to pump money into research?
Yes.
To open up more rides. So off this tart, you could only build like three or four different things. And then you kept pumping in money to research and you could open up more and more rides.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
My favorite thing about this game was the social experiments you could do on people.
Ah, yes.
My first park that I ever built, I found one guy and I took him and I put him like in a cage.
Because you could get those little tweezers.
Yeah.
It would use that little set of tweezers. And like, it was so cool. You wouldn't just like click the guy and move him. But like, the little tweezers would like pick him up. And then you could drop him wherever you wanted to.
So I like raised this plot of land so this guy couldn't get out. And I included like a drink stand with free drinks and a bathroom that cost $30. Just to see how long it would take for this guy to spend $30 to go to the bathroom. And you know what? It never happened.
No? Well, he was peeing in the corner of your cage.
No, he was very, very angry. Like, you could see, like, I love when you click on them and you could see, like, their level of contentment.
Yes.
So every now and then you just see somebody who's, like, white hot rage. And it's like, dude, you're in an amusement park right now. What are you so pissed about? And it's always like, the like scream of death coaster looks too intense for me, and it's always like, oh, I'm sorry.
He's getting angry. He's getting, his face is getting red. He's turning into the guy.
Turning into the guy. So often, like most of the time, like when you build a roller coaster, like they have the ones you can choose from, and like maybe right off the bat you'll pick one of those just because they're cheap.
That was always my first plan.
But for the most part, the fun part about this game was building a roller coaster.
Oh yeah.
And I would always try to build a roller coaster I would want to ride, and then it would come back and it would be like, this, the intensity on this is severe.
But that was the best, because you're right. Like, it's, so I did this.
And then nobody would ride this thing.
And that you spent thousands and thousands of dollars on. It was funny, because, like, I don't ride roller coasters in real life. Like, I'm terrified of heights. I get sick. Yeah, I don't do it. No, not at all. But same thing, building them, it was like, let's see just how intense I can make this roller coaster. And then it was the same thing. Nobody would ride it. And that was one of the best things, was being able to click on people and seeing, like, how much fun they're having. And, like, you never click on someone that's having a good time. You always click on the angry people to see what they're angry about. And, yeah, stuff like, oh, this ride's too insane, or, like, oh, that's a ripoff. I'm not paying that much for the bathroom.
I've been waiting in line for ages. Yeah. It's like, well.
Have you ever been to an amusement park? That's part of the experience.
I love how we're bitching about hypothetical people inside a simulator.
Imagine how a real amusement park owner must feel, because they're just getting these real complaints.
They're getting real complaints, and we're like, why are these robots?
Yeah, you little shits. I'll pick all you up and drop you all in a Mark's cage of pee. You just live in there. Because that was one of my favorite things, was being able to just, I used to like just pick people up and drop them off in the middle of like nowhere, like, because you had this huge plot of land and there's no way that, like, it takes you forever to build all the way out to it unless you try to right away, which I never did, because I was always so concerned with, like, compacting everything to try to maximize.
It's like you get to the empty space when you get to the empty
space. Yeah, no rush. So I used to pick a guy up and just go drop him over there in the corner and then go back to work. Eventually he'd like find his way back over and be angry, and I was just like, I was like, what the fuck are you doing over there? But that was one of the cool things about it, was being able to click on people and seeing what they like or what they didn't like. And or see their feedback on rides and things like that. Because, they'd say that a ride is too extreme or too boring or fucking whatever.
Or, like,
whatever.
Ever raise the ground right in front of the exit so nobody can get out, and then you close the park?
No.
Just so everybody's trying to get out at the same time and they can't?
No, I never did that. But I... You're a terrible businessman. I don't want to go to your park at all.
Well, and then on the other side, there'd be like, if you left the park open, there'd be people that are paying to get in, and now they can't get in.
No, I never did any of that. That's funny. I used to like when it would rain, because remember, you could sell people umbrellas?
Yeah, and then you just jack up the price of umbrellas.
Oh, fuck yeah. Jack an umbrella up to like $20, and then just watch everyone be angry, but watch everyone shell out for these umbrellas. And you just like, it's funny, because like, we live in Edmonton, and so I always make fun of Daryl Cates for owning this shitty hockey team, the Oilers, and just making, like, every year Oilers ticket prices go up, and it's like $20 to get a hot dog and a drink at a fucking Oilers game. But I did the exact same thing, just with my amusement park.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't even that good of an amusement park, and I was just charging out the ass to anyone. Like, once you got in, you were fucked. But so I get maybe Cates is like a real life
he's a real life
roller coaster tycooner, and he just sits up there reading people's thoughts and laughing and dropping people into his pee box and shit like that. So, and like, that was one of the cool things about that game too, is there was so much customization. Like, it wasn't just that you built rides, but like the sheer amount of detail when it came to, I mean, the roller coasters were a thing on their own. How you could do anything to a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Anything. But the way you could lift land and lower land, and you could make, like, I remember,
like, tunnels.
Yeah. I used to, in my really big park I built, there was the food court was up on bridges with roller coasters looping around the bridges.
Oh, that's cool.
So you'd be in the food court eating your food with the roller coaster going around you.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And I thought it was like, and then my brother pointed out that, like, in theory, people would be puking off the roller coaster onto the people in the food. And I was like, yeah, maybe, but that's what they get for being in the food court. So, but like you could build like water rides and monorails and things like that, like, to get around, and you could fucking make those go through the roller coasters or down underground.
Yeah.
Or it was really like, I mean, I'm sure other games like this existed. Again, we're both PC illiterate, but
I've never really heard of like any, like, amusement park simulation games before this one.
No, and like, and the sheer level of customization in it and things you could do, like I said, like, it wasn't just like you, so you could tweak the land, you could raise land, lower land, you could do all that stuff. But not only that, but like, with each individual ride, even if you didn't design the ride, like, as a roller coaster you could design itself, but even if you didn't design the ride, you could go in and change the colors of anything, like a merry-go-round.
You could change like
house.
The entrance, like theming.
Yeah. You could change the music it played. You could name the rides. You could decide how much it charges to get on the rides and get off the rides. And
I always
prefer
to have the price of a. And it's funny actually playing Roller Coaster Tycoon now, and like everything is kind of set in like $19.95.
Yeah.
Where like an on-ride picture is like $350, and people are like, "What a ripoff!" Now we're just like, "The fuck
it's
are
like,
you complaining
it's like
about?"
Like $50 to get one now somewhere. And I really liked how, like, and I'm sure you did this too, like, you had to build the queue lines to get up to the ride.
Yeah.
And so like the longer you built it, the more people would get on your ride, but the more people would whine and complain because the line was too big.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't line up once that, like if you built it two spaces, that was all the people you could get in line because they wouldn't line up outside of the queue.
Yeah.
So like I would build it like back and forth like a
I totally would too. And then my friend Devin saw that I did that and he was appalled. He was like, "What are you do? You make the lines short as possible so people don't bitch." And it's like, "Yeah, but like
then you don't make any money.
Look how popular my ride is."
Exactly. When I build a roller coaster this good, you'll wait in fucking line.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So, and then the best is when you build the roller coaster, you could sample run it because you had to to test it. And when it would crash, like if you designed it like my English speaking, like up a giant hill and then it would shoot straight down and then turn hard to the left and the fucking carts would just crash off the
end. I love doing that.
Right. And you were just like, okay, so then you literally would add one more space of track and then the turn. And you were like, okay, how quickly can I add, like how quickly can I make this turn where nobody will die? But you
like,
want
to
make it.
There's so much like trying to like go back and tweak your coaster, like trying to like, holy shit, how do I make this work now?
And the carts could get stuck. Like if you fucking didn't. Yeah. But it would have been funnier if you could just send people on it. But I get why you had to test it first. But then did you ever have any rides crash and kill people?
Yeah. Have you ever done it on like had rides crash and kill people on purpose?
No, but I believe you with your fucking park of horrors.
No. It's a thing. I think I'm totally not the only person that's done this. There was one coaster that was like, it was like an unfinished track, and it was supposed to be that way because the coaster was supposed to go like up around the loop and then up this slope and then back down and around the loop. Oh, so it was supposed to
like,
but
it
what
would,
you could do
boomerang
is you,
kind of
yeah
like,
you
yeah.
could like set the speed so high that the thing just flies off the tracks. And I would do it all the time, like every night, like I would do it all the time, just like, oh, nobody's died in a while. All right, just increase the speed of that.
And it's the best because people die, and then like literally, people don't even leave the park.
People, no,
like people are just
the
like,
the park doesn't even close. People just look and be like, I'm not riding that. That doesn't look safe.
We'll go to another ride. Forget this. But it was like at like Disneyland, if a fucking ride crashed and killed three people, it'd be like, okay, everyone out of the park, please. We got to clean this up. In this game, it's like the janitor goes over to sweep.
Actually, I don't know if Disneyland would, though. Like, because I think Disneyland's only been closed twice.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Once was 9/11. I don't remember what the other day was, but like Disneyland does not close very often.
You're right. They just close the ride for 20 minutes so they clean up, and they're like, all right.
They'll like clean this kid's head off of the Roger Rabbit.
Jesus. I want to go to Disneyland.
I do, actually. I always want to go to Disneyland.
It's my favorite place on the planet.
Dude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it actually is the happiest place on Earth.
Yeah, it really is. We went there 3 or 4 years ago, and I, like, borderline had to convince Shay. She wasn't that interested, because we're both adults, and I was like, no, I'm telling, like, I've never been.
Dude, and that's the weird
thing.
I've
always wanted to go.
I've, like, as an adult, I've always, obviously, I've always always dated other adult people.
Sure.
And I'm always like, we should go to we should go to Disneyland. And they're always like, dude, you're 30, Mark.
It literally is a vacation from adulthood. Like, it's the fun. It's
but
so awesome.
On this, at the same time, though, it's not for kids. Like, you'd think Disneyland totally for kids. Kids do not understand Disneyland.
No,
last time I went to Disney World back in like 2012 or something with my brother.
Yeah.
And just like everywhere we looked were just these spoiled crying kids.
Oh, sure there is.
Being
yeah.
pissy about like, why isn't there cheese on this burger?
Yeah, yeah.
Being like, fuck you. Yeah, do you know how much it costs to come here?
Imagine if you had gone to Mark's amusement park, what he would have fucking done to you. He dropped you into the pea cage.
The pea cage.
And then when he finally opened an exit to the pea cage, he'd put a hill in front of it so he couldn't get out. And then he'd hire 3 security guys to come and give you shit for not leaving his park. The Mark fucking Temple of Doom.
I never fired employees. There was always a lake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Whenever I was like, I'm spending too much on employees, I'd be like, well, I could just drown a bunch
of them. Yeah, I just... I can't afford to fire these people. I can't afford this severance. Because that was one of the things, too, is you could hire... You know, I think it was only... Because you could hire the entertainers.
Yeah.
That you basically just had to use in the lines to ride so people would bitch. The cops, because otherwise people would destroy your park. The janitors to just go around. I remember them doing really sweeping up puke.
Yeah, that was, and I would just always hire another janitor anytime I saw somewhere where there was a lot of puke.
Right, but it was the most satisfying thing for some reason to watch these little tiny janitors come up to these like yellow little blotches on the map and just like, and then the puke would disappear.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I could sit there and watch that and just be like, yeah, that's nice.
Dude,
like,
yeah,
it was so satisfying to watch.
There's something weirdly content, like, extremely satisfying. It's like watching a sunset a little bit.
Yeah,
just like if you sit back and you watch the workings of your park.
Yeah, it really is, man. If like, especially if you like, if you build a new ride that's really extreme, there's going to be a ton of puke outside of it.
Yeah,
so you got to build a bunch of garbage cans, because I used to build lots of garbage cans outside of, it would be like every space, like a fucking hall of garbage cans outside.
See, it
of those
was
rides.
Me for any space it went back between benches and garbage cans.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I put some. Yeah.
And next to
too.
Like really intense rides, I always add a bathroom.
Yeah. That's a good call. But, and then you'd still see like, but when you first build it, if you forgot to do that shit, you'd see like this mound of like these like little like chicken pox of like these little spots of pukes. And you go and get one of the janitors or hire one or whatever and drop them right there. And then you could just, it was just, to just watch them sweep up these piles of puke.
Extremely satisfying.
It was. And I was like, yeah, goddamn, I have a good park. Look at fucking Eduardo cleaning up this puke.
Like you actually felt like a roller coaster tycoon.
Tycoon, yeah, you did. It was making like $20,000 a year. Like making less than I make as a fucking...
Dude, the money in that game never made sense, because it was always like, yeah, like as I mentioned earlier, it was like $350 for a ride picture. What the fuck? Mm. But then also it was like $100,000 to build a roller coaster, and it's like, no.
But what was rad about it, and one of the things I actually enjoyed about it the most, is it could be very simple if you wanted to. It could just drop, like you said, there were pre-built roller coasters. You just drop in rides and fucking, and you're done. Mm-hmm. But if you got into detail, like not only could you design your own roller coasters and monorails and log plumes and shit, but like you could decide the pricing on everything. You could design the names of everything, what like the colors of everything. And then there was the money you had to invest in research. Like, what do I want to get next? Like, do I want another store, or do I want a fucking chill ride or roller coaster or whatever? And you could also spend money on advertising and stuff to get more people in. Like there was a lot of levels of depth to it if you wanted to use them, but you weren't obligated. Like, you kind of got out what you put in.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really cool, because it's funny because I often find games with really high levels of customization almost overbearing, like too much, and I didn't find that at all with this one. Like, I was just so enjoying what I was doing.
It's one of those experiences where like you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon and you just feel like, most games, there's a level of drama, there's a level of intensity, there's just this overwhelming calm anytime you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, and it's very, like, I just, like we were saying earlier, with Dino Park and then with SimCity and then this, Like after this, like I really played a lot of hours of Roller Coaster Tycoon, bought the expansions and everything. I thought it was awesome.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I was like, man, maybe this is like my genre. Like this is one of my go-to genres. But most of the other games, like, and I know there are a lot of like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but any kind of like Tropico or any of the new Sim Cities or anything that's kind of simulation-y, I can't get into
The Sims.
No, me neither.
I tried to play The Sims. I couldn't get into it.
And I don't know what it was about Roller Coaster Tycoon. I love the graphic style. Like, it was cute. Like, it was comfortable. Do you know what I mean? It was very satisfying. I don't know what it was about it. I don't know what it was that just grabbed me, but when I sent you the list of games and you saw it, you were like, fuck yeah, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just something about it, you know?
Because it's one of those games. Like, I remember, again, I was 12 years old. I was living in Sherwood Park when I first picked this game up and just like spent like more hours than my parents definitely were comfortable with playing this game.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to speak out of turn when it comes to PC because I don't know. Like, when I think of PC video games, I think of like Doom, you know, like, yeah. I mean, like, because I played a couple of games in the 90s and that was it, right? But this is the game I think of first, is Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I mean, but like PC gaming has gone like way past that.
Of course it has,
I guess. Like, I don't know.
Now we have all those, you fucking arrogant PC Master Race cockheads that fucking talk down to the console gamers. Go fuck yourselves, you fucking arrogant. But please keep listening to the podcast. No, it's great, man. And like, I know they've made more. There was one that came out a little while ago. I can't remember if it was Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 or 4. I want to say 4.
I think the fourth one, like the third one, the third one was more 3D and like you could like test your rides
right.
yourself.
Right.
And that was like the big gimmick to that one.
There was one that came out not long ago that just got destroyed by people.
Oh,
like,
really?
People didn't like. I don't know if it was a pay-as-you-go or if it was broken or what, but it got
like the touch
murdered.
One people didn't like.
No,
people
not at
not
all.
Like the touch.
No,
game.
Not at all. Like I say, I have it on my phone and my iPad.
I got it on my iPad, saw what it was, and was like, "Oh, fuck this."
Yeah, it's not the same. But I'm really hoping that the one they're releasing for Switch is just the straight up. Like, give us just the Roller Coaster Tycoon games.
Just
like the old school ones. Yeah, old school.
Even if they did it like an ultimate version. Like,
yeah,
they have like all of the scenarios.
Absolutely.
And all of the...
I would legitimately pay full price for that. Like, I would pay like a $60 price tag for that.
Oh, easily. Absolutely.
And I bought...
I don't think it is. I think it's like $30 or something.
Which
like
is
that,
awesome.
But...
I bought it for my original Xbox, and it was pretty rad. Or maybe it was Xbox 360. But it was pretty cool to play on that. Like, it was with the controller and everything. That worked. The original games.
Oh,
but
I've never played it on a console before.
It was cool, man. Yeah, it was a little tricky with the controller, like just getting used to, because I was used to the mouse, you know, but it worked. It was cool. It was, and they've tried other versions. Like, I remember my PlayStation, I had Sim Theme Park, I think, or Theme Park or something like that. It was just like a really shitty version
like
of Roller
Coaster
Tycoon.
Like, it was a knockoff of it.
Yeah, and you could see it was just someone trying to, like, it was just a company trying to cash in on the...
And I think it was, like, yeah, Sim Theme Park or something
like
that.
And I played it, but I was like, this sucks. Like,
and
this
then there were
the
games
same.
Just called, like, Theme Park Builder or something. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think people have tried them all now, but like...
But Roller Coaster Tycoon, that's classic Coke right there.
It's the best. It's like, it was the original and it is the best one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know. I guess if you're listening to this and like, I'm serious, like if you... I don't know when this is going to go live. It probably won't be until the new year. But like, if there's a game out there that you would recommend that's like this, like that's not one of
Absolutely.
Your fucking PC games. please.
Except for this is a PC game.
Yeah, but not one of you. Yeah, but I don't have a good PC. I mean, like a MacBook. If I could play it on a cheap MacBook, sure. But like, just any of those games. Like, I'm interested, you know, because I really feel like the genre is cool. And then most of them I just get bored of really quickly and walk away from, you know? And I don't know what if it's too deep and overwhelming or if it's just not the same. There's just something about Sim Theme Park, or not Sim Theme Park, Roller Coaster. They just grab you.
I think it's just, like, the Taiku games were so, like, they were just so streamlined and so, like, incredibly, like, they didn't try to, like, ramp up the drama or anything. They were just like, here's kind of an overall goal. Go have a lovely time.
Yeah, they were perfect. Sound was great. Like, it felt like you were at a theme park playing it. And yeah. I was like, when you got closer to a ride or something, you could hear more, and then
you could
get
hear
quieter
like,
as you got away. And
you could hear like the clack of the like chains.
Yeah, and you hear people screaming. It was good times, man. What a good game.
Great game.
Okay, well, we're gonna wrap this up because we have another one, and we're on a tight schedule tonight. Mark, what would you give Roller Coaster Tycoon on a scale of 1 to 10? Oh, I just hit the table, man.
I'd say a 9.8.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't see a lot of things that can be improved here.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with like a 9.2. But like, yeah, it's a 9 easily, yeah. Over a 9. It's a really good game. If you haven't played it, be very careful about which one you buy, but try it. Just don't pick one of the shitty versions.
Roller Coaster Tycoon, I feel like, is the ultimate.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate one.
The originator, yeah.
I never really played the third one, but like the second one is the the first and second, those are like the classic.
Play them. And if you've listened to this, you've played them. Yeah. Fuck off. And if you know where to get Dino Park Tycoon, tell me. I'll pay you.
Oh my God, yes, please.
Dino Park Tycoon. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
No problem.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Mark, thank you. There we go. Mark, thank McHugh for coming over and talking Roller Coaster Tycoon with me. PC Master Racers, I hope you enjoyed that because I have no idea when we'll be talking about one of your games again. But thanks for listening, you guys. Like I said off the top, we've got some great episodes coming up, and keep your eyes peeled for the bonus episode. I believe we're going to drop it Friday, where my nephew Ben and I talk about the generational gap kind of between gamers, and we look at Fortnite and we look at Smash Ultimate. I love talking to Ben. I'm pretty excited to get this episode up. Thank you guys for listening and downloading and telling all your friends, and I say it every week. I say it numerous times, probably too much, but I can't express how much I appreciate the support that this podcast is getting. So thanks, guys. I really do sincerely appreciate all of you. I'm done kissing your asses now. I'm going to shut up and get out of here. I will be back on Friday with a bonus episode of Remember the Game. Take it easy, you guys. Stay warm. It's freezing outside. Go play some video games, and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers.